Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with David Barham, Administrator of GSA, and Martha Johnson, the Chief of Staff. Joining me is Pat McNamee, also a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Well, David, how about telling us about GSA? I understand it's its 50th anniversary.
Well, it is. And that means in 1949, the Property Act was passed, which put us into being. There are three big parts to GSA. Three services, our buildings, our supply services, and our technology, and we have a policy shop also. At one time in probably the 70s, GSA had 41,000 people, and it came down to around 21 or so in the early part of the 90s. And in the 6 years of this administration, we've gone down to about 14,000 people. So we've had a dramatic change, and this was offloading big groups of people, so it wasn't just fewer people doing the same work, although in the last 5 years or so, that's been a lot of that. We did this all with buyouts. We did all the cutting, if you will, with buyouts in the last 4 or 5 years. So we've lost a lot of people with a lot of institutional knowledge, and amazingly enough, we're doing even better than we did before, which is a lesson we all should not forget to notice. Clinger-Cohen also passed in that period of time, which changed a lot of things around technology and the way GSA's role via technology, and the fact that everybody should then have a chief information officer, which we have taken with energy and really done a terrific job at.
The other major change that was presented as we came 3 years ago was that GSA was sort of midpoint in moving from being a mandated supplier of services and was really entering the marketplace. So two of our services are almost completely serving the federal worker, but at their choice. They can choose to buy from us or they can go elsewhere.
And in the third, so that's the technology service and the federal supply service. In the third service, public building, which has been the biggest in terms of people, and the one people often think of when they think of GSA, is getting more and more non-mandatory also. We've told our customers, if you want to get a lease from somebody else, you don't think we do a good job, go ahead. We'll even help you pick that person, that company. People haven't left us because we think we're the best, and we're proving it daily. We are also, by the way, measuring ourselves very well, particularly in the public building service. And a part of government that people didn't think about as good at measuring itself, terrific measurements and holding ourselves accountable. If you were to travel to Phoenix or Sacramento or someplace in this country and meet up with the person running the local PBS office and ask them how they're doing, instead of saying, fine, how are you, they're likely to tell you, well, on the costs of cleaning for my buildings, we're at 11% below the benchmark private sector, and I'm 10th in the country or first in the country. So we're changing the way we think. And if you wake up in the morning expecting to get results that you know you're being measured, you're going to change the way you do work. And I think that's what we're doing there. So this is a pretty interesting organization. The people, when I first came, a couple of people said, why are you doing that? And I said, I think this is a better organization than you might think. And I found that to be true. So we're marketing ourselves more. We have four visions that developed fairly soon after we arrived. One is that we're about change. It's not your father's GSA. It's even beginning to look like your daughter's GSA, which is good.
Well, you described what it was when you got there and what it is now, but how did you go about figuring out what it was going to take to get there?
Well, we put people in leg irons.
we did have this platform that we walked in on, so to speak, of moving towards the market and of being much smaller. In fact, we were concerned that we were losing skills, but that really did not prove to be the problem. So what we did was we focused the first year or two on simply opening up GSA. I mean, a lot of it had been encumbered by these mandatory rules, by a lot of administrative, drag, and by extra people. So we focused on opening up. We handed everyone the internet within about 3 months of our arrival, and we didn't spend a whole lot of time worrying about that. We got into a meeting, and it was a one-day meeting, and the leadership decided that was the thing to do. And then we launched into a kind of a process of trying out some visions. We we sort of made some statements. Dave put some things in his speeches. If we heard them back, we knew they resonated. One is this, it's not your father's GSA, which is about change. Another one was thrilling the customers, which had a giggle factor for about 5 minutes.
My wife said to me, why do you say stuff like that? that thrilling stuff. But, you know, it was such an easy way for people to understand the point. We've all been thrilled by a vendor, and we've all been satisfied. To me, satisfying a customer is a hygiene. If you think of Hirschberg's ideas, it's also only a hygiene factor. If you want competitive advantage, you better do something different. And thrilling was a way to say it. You know, Tom Peters calls it lusting.
I said he couldn't use lusting. Thrilling was all I could interpret to the organization. What happened was these ideas were strong enough that people took them and pushed them harder. So we had a group that called itself the Thrillers, went off, interviewed a whole lot of people in the private sector, came back and wrote up a brochure and created some educational tools around the difference between satisfying and thrilling.
You know,
and it is
did?
A substantial leap.
They held a meeting in Chicago. They got Starbucks.
Nordstrom,
Ritz-Carlton, whose slogan, by the way, is "Ladies and gentlemen, helping ladies and serving ladies and gentlemen." Great slogan. A couple other companies: Motorola,
Galvin
spent
half a day.
Four hours with this group, talking about the difference between really thrilling customers and just satisfying them. And they, you know, this group, our GSA group, in my opinion, really went away thinking, what is this thrilling stuff? We're going to find out if it's real. And they came back having proved it and made it, enriched it. So they, as Martha said, they put together a brochure, a videotape, a little slideshow, and they put on the webpage. You can go up on our webpage and find it if you want, any of you.
And in fact, when we put up our chat line, which we've had running now for about a year and a half, successfully, I think, the first question was, describe a time when you've been a thrilled customer as a private person, so that we could just share our ideas. And so we didn't go off for 3 weeks and craft a mission statement. We evolved these things, and they have a whole lot more depth and breadth to them as a result.
Well, one of our other visions was, the first vision was change. You know, the world's about change. The second was excellence. If you're going to change, be excellent. My phrase is, if we're good, use us. If we're not, don't.
And our slogan was, can't be GSA.
Right. So, you know, what we're trying to say is to our customers, to ourselves, we think we're good enough to warrant your business, and we're going to try to get it. And you ought to buy from us. And if you don't think so, then tell us why. And, you know, you don't buy, but also tell us why. And so that's helped us think about that. You know, the excellence part. The third was thrilling customers. And the fourth was something we called honest conversations. It seemed hard to us to make all these things happen if we weren't going to be honest with each other. And the government, you know, one thing government people have built the capacity to do is to answer a simple question with, you know, many, many words that are not dishonest, but, you know, a real honest conversation would have been no or yes or something else.
Crisp is
yeah.
the word.
And so that's been one of them. The other is that we didn't need to have, when the union came in and talked about this or that, we wanted to be sure we were talking about the thing that was really important, not some euphemism, and others as well. So we've tried to have honest conversations. And it's a high bar. Do we always have them? Of course not. Do we have more than the average? I think so.
We're getting there.
Mm-hmm. And people I'll bet I get one email a month that says, in the spirit of honest conversation, let me tell you what a bozo you are, you know?
Or they'll start conversations. I want this to be an honest conversation, as if all the others aren't. But we did, we put up a chat line. We have been encouraging conversations about race in alignment with the president's initiative on race. We've been having some very important new kinds of conversations with our unions. And we just are trying to speak more crisply and, as with these visions, you know, not make them big ponderous statements, just make them things that people can all repeat. And I think that cuts through some of the language.
You know, here's what I want to happen. If someone says, where do you work? I'd like people to say, I work at GSA, and let me tell you about it. Let me tell you what we're doing that's pretty neat. And then we need the ability to be able to say, you know, to describe that in a few words so it isn't you know, like the typical government answer.
It's the elevator answer. What can you say on an elevator ride? Right. Yeah.
And what are you proudest of? What's your proudest accomplishment at GSA?
Well, I'm proud that I'm still here and liking it because, you know, that means that the organization is really responding well and giving me a lot of energy to keep going. You know, if a government organization as mature as GSA could wipe me out in a heartbeat if it wanted to. You know, I mean, it could just frustrate me to no end. And so I feel good that either I haven't let it or they're responding to things I care. Martha and I talked about a lot. So I feel most proud about that. I know that's kind of not a bumper sticker answer, but that is really how I feel.
Okay. We'll be back with more of the business of government in just a minute.